This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, January 25th, 2012. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the ABCs of a jack of all trades. If you read science fiction, you might have read the dystopian novels of Thomas M. Dish. Camp Concentration and the Genocides are some of his best-known books. If you go in for horror fiction, he also wrote The Businessman, A Tale of Terror, and other books. If you have young children and, or if you grew up in the 1980s, you might know Thomas M. Dish's book, The Brave Little Toaster, or The Tale of Dandelion. But if you know him as a poet, he went by the name of Tom Dish. We're going to hear a few of his poems, chosen from the Poetry Foundation archives and read for us by David Yezzie, himself a poet and the executive editor of The New Criterion. David, Tom Dish lived in New York City, and he died only a few years ago in 2008. So I'm guessing you ran into him here and there. Did you know him?
I did. It's a funny story. It was years ago. I had just moved to New York, and I was doing theater, mostly in basements and really out-of-the-way places. But I did get a real gig doing a show at the Rap Arts Center in the East Village.
Uh-huh.
And I showed up to do a performance one night, or maybe it was a rehearsal, I can't remember, and the theater doors were chained. And I realized from reading the newspaper account later that the reason why they had shut the theater is that the building was owned, as I understand, by the Catholic Church, and Tom Dish's play, The Cardinal Detoxes, had been playing in the theater. And it was so outrageous, so scabrous, that the church locked him out of the theater. But that was my introduction to Tom Dish.
Uh-huh.
And then I ran into him over the years. I got a letter from him when I wrote an article about some of his work. But I really got to know him toward the end of his life through a common friend of ours, mm-hmm. a fellow named Ben Downing, who really was one of Tom's closest friends at the end of his life. And we used to go over to Tom's apartment on Union Square and just drink box wine and just laugh uproariously. Tom, as you can probably gather from his often very funny poems, loved to laugh, and we would just crack up and read poems, and he really would kind of hold court and perform for us all night. It was terrific.
Now, it's incredibly unusual for a poet to write in so many different genres. In addition to the stuff I mentioned in the theater piece that you mentioned, he also wrote historical novels. He wrote opera librettos and computer interactive fiction. I don't even know what that is, but apparently he wrote it. Was poetry a sideshow for him, or was it the main event of his creative life?
His poems are so good that I have to think that it was really his major work, though I think he was probably most well-known for his science fiction writing.
Yeah.
But it was the poems that I think really grabbed me. Even within the poems, I think that he was able to do a range of things, from kind of satire to very serious, melancholy poetry to an almost kind of a nonsense verse at times.
We're gonna hear two poems, and one of them at least can be classified as light verse. I'm not sure if the first one we're going to hear is light verse, but it's called The Garage Sale as a Spiritual Exercise, which is just a wonderful title. I don't know if all his poetry is like this, but it doesn't need much of an introduction. It's very clear. But is there anything you want to say about the poem before we hear it?
He has such a surprising cast of mind that he comes up with really remarkable things, often quite out of the blue. And he also will risk offending or showing sides of himself that are maybe less attractive, but always kind of comes out with a rather winning spirit in the end. And I think this poem does a bit of that.
Okay. Go ahead and give it a read.
Sure. The Garage Sale as a Spiritual Exercise. Once someone loved this piece of junk, if only for a moment, at the mall with its wrappings intact and its price so much reduced. "You need me," it whispered, and he couldn't disagree. So he bought it, the way he bought everything he'd ever been sold, in the belief that it would do the job. And it did, for the longest time, and never broke down or wore out, and in fact has outlasted him, because here it is, a sickly blue, in the basement of the Methodist Church. And now it means to have you. You sneer at it and think, no way. You can see only its tackiness. The virus, invisible back at the mall, which now blots out all its viable features like triumphant acne. You don't see the years of loving drudgery, the promises fulfilled. It needs you now. Don't turn away. Take it to the lady and ask what it costs. Don't be proud. Remember the Beatitudes and who gets the kingdom of heaven.
That was The Garage Sale as Spiritual Exercise, which was published in Poetry Magazine in 1993. David, who's going to get into heaven here? Is it the couch that's going to heaven, or is it the person who buys it?
I think it's probably Tom for writing such a fine poem, but why do you think it's a couch?
That's a good point.
He says, carry it to the lady. I thought it was like a little vase or something.
Oh, really? I don't know why.
I kept looking. There's got to be like a couch. It's got to say couch here, and then I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's better unnamed.
Right. No, we shouldn't know what it is.
Yeah.
What I love about the poem is that he just blurts out what a tacky monstrosity this is. You know, he doesn't hold back from...
triumphant acne. Oh, my God.
Right, exactly. Right. It was the virus that tempted the person back at the mall is now so visible. It's so covering it, you know, with this triumphant acne, that he feels that he should be able to easily avoid acquiring it. And yet, I think what's so nice about the poem is that he's drawn to see its inner beauty.
Mm. Do you see this as a comic poem, or is it doing something else? Or do you even see it as light verse, actually?
If I see it as light verse, it's probably just because I'm, you know, being familiar with Tom's poems generally, you know, he was a master of what I would call comic verse. And there's something certainly wry about this poem. Mm. But I think so often with his comic poetry, and he once said this to me in so many words, that the thing about comic verse is there has to be blood in the grass. Mm. He was a real master at being able to really go for the jugular in the comic or in the light style, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next poem we're going to hear, ABCdery, is rhymed couplets all the way through. And ABCdery is a primer for a child's ABCs. And there's something very Seussian, Dr. Seussian, about this poem. I'm afraid to ask you to introduce it at all. I think you should just kind of give it a read. What do you think?
Let's do it. It's a primer in something. I'm not sure what.
Okay.
ABCdery. A is an apple, as everyone knows. But B is a what, do you suppose? A Bible? A barber? A banquet? A bank? No. B is this boat, the night that it sank. C is its captain, and D is its dory, while E... But first, let me tell you a story. There once was an eagle, exceedingly proud, who thought it would fly in the form of a cloud. Yes, E is for eagle, and F is for form. And G is the grass that got wet in a storm when the cloud that the eagle unwisely became sprinkled our hero and all of his fame over 10 acres of upland plateau. So much for that story. Now H, do you know? H is the hay that was made from the grass, and I's the idea of going to Mass, which is something that only a Catholic would do. Jews go to synagogue. J is a Jew. K is for kitchen as well as for kiss, while L is for all of the black licorice you can eat in an hour without feeling ill. M is for millipede, millet, and mill. The first is an insect. The second, a grain. The third grinds the second. It's hard to explain such a process to children who never have seen it. So let's go to the country right now. Yes, I mean it. We're leaving already, and N is the night we race through to reach it, while P is the plight of the people, remember, who sailed in that boat that is still, by a miracle, somehow afloat. Oh, dear. I've just noticed I've overlooked O. O's an omission, and really should go in that hole, do you see it, between N and P? No, it's not there now. Dear O, pardon me. Q is the question of how far away a person can travel in one single day, and whether it's worth it. Or might it be better to just stay at home and write someone a letter? Ours are relations, a regular swarm. Now get out of the car. We've arrived at their farm. S is the site of a Thanksgiving feast, and T is the turkey, which must weigh at least 30 pounds. U is Utopia. V simply vanishes. Where? We can't see. While W waves from its westernmost isle, and X lies exhausted, attempting to smile. There are no letters left now, but Y and then Z. Y is for you, dear, and Z is for me.
That was A.B. Cedary, which was published in Poetry Magazine in December of 1978. So what's he up to here? Where's the blood in the grass of this poem? What do you think?
He was very brilliant at writing for children and kind of understanding what was pleasing to a child's mentality. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's something in the motion of this poem, the mm-hmm. kind of antic, surprising, kind of head-over-heels quality of it, that, as you said, you know, at the outset, you recall something of maybe Dr. Seuss, and because it's a primer and A.B. Cedary, that it's something that is at least jokingly meant for children.
Yeah, it's in a style for children, but its ultimate audience is adults.
Absolutely.
Because it's funny. And then those are wonderful, wonderful rhymes that work all the way through. The kiss and licorice.
Yes, right. And then at one point he says, you know, it's hard to explain such yes. a process to children. And he's kind of acknowledging, you know, I get you know, this isn't really for kids.
Yeah.
And these things that kind of come back in the poem, the idea that it's, you know, this boat, it's the night that the boat sank. And then he remember the boat and they sail away on this boat.
And it comes
this,
back up later in the poem.
Yeah, it has so this funny. Kind of this absurd structure that is nonetheless very present throughout, and that gives it a lot of energy, I think.
And towards the end, it turns quite touching. It becomes people gathering for a feast. There's Thanksgiving.
Right.
There's X is lying exhausted, attempting to smile. It sounds like a family get-together. And then there's Y and Z, a romantic couple. It seems to be a romantic couple.
Mm-hmm.
Y is for you, dear, and Z is for me. Isn't that
yeah.
touching?
I think that's a very winning strategy, because it's somehow the sweetness is sweeter for having shown us something that's a little bit edgier. And it's a little more hard-won that way. Strikes me that that's something that typical of a dish poem often.
I think the most Seussian moment of the poem
yes.
is about halfway through. The first is an insect, the second a grain, the third grinds the second. It's hard to explain. Such a process to children who never have seen. It almost has that same Dr. Seuss rhyme, which I read to my kids almost every night.
So let's go to the country right now. Yes, I mean it.
Yeah, right. We're leaving already.
Right. Oh, the places you'll go, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So he knows his Dr. Seuss.
Absolutely.
Just on a side note, some people think of Dr. Seuss as a good poet. I see you blanched. There's certain skills to be able to write like that.
Oh, no. I'm a huge as a child, my mother tells me I had whole Dr. Seuss books memorized. And if Frost's ideal for a poet is to lodge a few lines where they're hard to get rid of, then, you know, Dr. Seuss has lodged more lines than almost any other contemporary
yes.
poet I can think of.
Yeah.
A modern poet, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few memorized myself.
Sure.
Okay, David, thanks so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You can read some of David Yezzi's poems on our website, poetryfoundation.org. David Yezzi's latest book of poems is Azores, published by Swallow Press. Let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is...
Take it to the lady and ask what it costs. Don't be proud.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.